Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 15th of February, 2016, the podcast that kicks the fires and lights the tires. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Jacob Morris. Jacob, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in like 2 days or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember if you were there for that part of the hangout or not, but we were...
Yeah, I was there at the end, you know, fashionably late.
Yeah, but I don't know if you were there for the part we were talking about Trump having Ted Nugent as his running mate. We were kind of joking about it. And I had said, okay, hashtag Trump Nugent 2016, make it happen. Well, it turns out it's a real hashtag. So I guess Tom Lehrer was right. There's no point to political satire anymore. Anything you do is going to be one-upped by reality, so.
Bernie Sanders goes back on his promises. Please God be true.
I think we figured out that the guy from Nickelback should be Bernie's running mate.
Oh, yeah. They endorsed Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and Bernie is a Nickelback fan, too. So. All right, let's lay aside the news of the bogus. So what happens when someone publishes data showing your findings to be wrong?
I don't know. What happens?
Well, if you're a real scientist, you accept it, revise your opinion, and move on. If you're a woo... Well, let's just take a look at what New Wave feminists did when the data debunked their data on campus rapes. And this is data that comes from Mary Koss, a professor of public health at the University of Arizona, along with Kevin Swartout of Georgia State University. They and four other researchers did a study, and it's a pretty comprehensive one, about campus rapes. And up to this point, the line had been that most campus rapists are serial rapists, and this is cited by feminists, activists, even Obama relies on it. Well, the data, it turns out, just doesn't support it. And so they published this in a paper, Trajectory Analysis of the Campus Serial Rapist Assumption.
Yeah, didn't Obama also come out in support of the theory of the wage gap?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Now, the reason why people believe that they were was from a 2002 study from a guy named David Lisak. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name, but Reason Magazine did an investigation and found out that the guy completely exaggerated his findings. He was unable to answer even basic questions. But Koss and her team found that most men who committed rape while in college were not serial offenders. That was their one and only time doing it. And what Koss told Reason Magazine was, quote, "If colleges and policymakers continue to focus on a serial rapist conceptualization, they are going to miss more than three quarters of the rapes that happen on campus."
So it sounds like they're trying to help their cause.
Oh, absolutely. They really want to help fight on-campus rapes. And if you're measuring the wrong thing, then you're going to apply the wrong remedies. So unlike Lisak's data, which was just surveys of people at a single commuter college, Koss's data was from two different time periods at a large representative university. Also, the people that Lisak surveyed did not live on campus. They were also older than traditional college students, and a lot of them weren't even students to begin with, and they weren't even specifically asked about any violent acts they had committed on campus or against other students.
Did he even do it on a college?
It was a commuter college, the University of Massachusetts at Boston.
I'm asking because he seems like he's getting every other thing wrong.
So, Koss, of course, expected Lisak and his colleagues to say, okay, well, this is good news. This is the new research. This is what it says. So this is what we need to be doing from here on out. But that's not what happened. One of Lisak's associates, James Hopper, who helped produce the data for the 2002 study, came out and accused Koss and Swartout of making all sorts of technical and analytic errors. Koss said they had spoken to Hopper. Hopper found some minor errors in coding with the data, and they were able to correct that before JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, published the study. And according to Koss, quote, "The effect on the results was that it made it stronger in opposition to the serial rape hypothesis." So it actually strengthened their findings and strengthened the case against the old findings. But Hopper and Lisak still insisted that the paper must be wrong because the conclusion was wrong, and they wrote a letter to JAMA accusing Koss and Swartout and the authors of, quote, "systematically suppressing the number of serial offenders. So, at JAMA's behest, Koss and her team reran the statistical models and even ran one more at JAMA's request that they hadn't done originally, and ultimately JAMA was satisfied that the conclusion was the right conclusion given the data. It was all sound. They had done the statistics right. And so they published their paper and declined to publish Hopper and Leesock's response to it. So ordinarily that would be the end of it, unless Hopper and Leesock end up doing another study of their own with different findings and published. But what actually happened was, early in January, Hopper had filed a research misconduct claim against Swartout. So Hopper told Reason Magazine, quote, "I am hoping that Georgia State University will conduct a complete investigation with appropriate review of the materials I have provided them on PubPeer and directly and all other necessary information from all other appropriate sources." But Koss is confident that any further review will just reach the same conclusion and that her findings are valid. And her big worry is that people continuing to buy into the serial rapist hypothesis will be looking at the wrong issue and therefore applying the wrong remedies. And she said, quote, "They are going to end up with a policy that is directed at a much smaller proportion of the problem than what we had previously believed based on Dr. Leesock's 2002 paper." And so why are Hopper and Leesock and everyone else so opposed to it? And I mean, she's gotten the usual kind of thing we've seen from New Wave feminists now, all the harping on about it, all the attacks, all the threats, everything else.
They're trying to help. What is wrong with you people?
It's just like it's become a religion, and then every last little thing that goes along with it, regardless of how it affects the big picture, you know, just has to be protected no matter what. You know, she's not saying that on-campus rapes aren't a problem.
I don't think we're saying it either.
No, we're just saying, you know, you gotta get the right data so you know what to look for and you gotta know what to prevent. But if only 1/4 of campus rapes are committed by serial rapists, and that's all you're focusing on, then you're going to miss all these others. Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. Well, apparently there are still a lot of you out there who think that net neutrality is a-okay, or at least not completely horrible. If that's you, then pay attention to this next story. And this has to do with India, which of course is a very poor country, and not a lot of people can afford internet access. Well, they introduced rules this past Monday to prevent internet service providers from having different prices for accessing different parts of the internet, and what's generally known as net neutrality. However, that's affecting Facebook's plan to roll out free internet services, and they call that the Free Basics Program, and they're targeting over 35 developing countries, and the idea is, for completely free, for no cost whatsoever, you get kind of a pared-down internet service on a mobile phone, which gives you access to not only Facebook and Facebook messaging, but also all sorts of other sites like news sites and things like that. But not, you know, the stuff like Netflix or whatever.
Seems reasonable.
Well, except it goes against this concept of net neutrality, and they're running into trouble in not only India, but all sorts of other countries. And Mark Zuckerberg said, quote, "Connecting India is an important goal we won't give up on, because more than 1 billion people in India don't have access to the internet. We know that connecting them can help lift people out of poverty, create millions of jobs, and spread education opportunities.
Yeah, it's kind of like antitrust. They're trying to, there's good intentions, but they're, I don't know, solving the wrong problems.
Yeah, although I'm not really that convinced that antitrust was based on the best of intentions. I think it was corporatism from the word go. But
oh, yeah.
The net neutrality advocates, I mean, you can see where they're coming from. I mean, they've got a point. But we're talking about something that's being given away so that poor people can get access to at least some parts of the internet. They can get access to social media. They can make connections. They can catch up on the news. They can look for work.
And they can't even make it an exception.
Nope. In fact, New York-based lawyer Misi Chowdhury said, quote, "We are delighted by the regulators' recognition of the irreversible damage that stands to be done to the open internet by allowing differential pricing." Yeah, damage caused by letting poor people on the net.
So I guess we can add neutrality to the list of new religions.
Pretty much, yeah. It's my way or the highway. You have to do it our way, or not at all, even if you're not charging people for it. And in order to stop people from being, actually, I don't even know what the harm is supposed to be here, really, but to stop whatever it is, we're going to stop them from getting access to the internet at all.
Like, we have to stop internet providers from charging different prices?
Well, it's like we've talked about before, when you try to go to Netflix and your internet provider says, oh, you're going to Netflix, so I'm going to restrict your bandwidth. That kind of thing.
Well, I'll switch to another internet provider. Oh, wait. Local monopolies.
Yeah, that's the solution they don't seem to want to contemplate too much.
No, we need to focus on these serial price chargers.
Yeah, but it's like they're saying that it's better for them not to have access to the internet at all than to have access to only parts of the internet for free.
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of how there could be any possible defense there. So yeah, like I said, I guess it's just another tenet of the state religion. Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And in case you thought net neutrality was the only impediment to getting the poor online, back home it's being done because of, get this, copyrights.
Okay, copyright. Another religion.
Yep.
Just going to get that out of the way.
So this is a place in Gainesville, Florida called Grace Marketplace, which is a homeless center that offers all sorts of services. It offers substance abuse counseling, signing up for public benefits like food stamps, and it runs shelters and it gives them a place to have showers, restrooms, meals, a place to secure their personal belongings, things like that. And until recently, they were giving them free Wi-Fi. And that's really becoming important in this day and age to go out there and search for job listings online and to connect with potential employers and contact them over email or over social media or whatever. They can also take online classes and build up their skills for potential jobs. They can search for a place to live. More and more of that's being done on the internet now, and not having internet access means that that gets closed off to you. But that's exactly what happened. The Wi-Fi has been shut down because some people, or maybe even just one person on the service, was allegedly engaged in file sharing.
Like, what kind of file sharing? Like, sharing photos of themselves?
It doesn't even say, because what they do is they send these letters to the ISP saying, hey, so-and-so at this IP address has been doing illegal file sharing, and we've talked about this before. It's basically an extortion racket. You know, the ISP passes you on saying, oh, pay, you know, $300 to avoid prosecution and We've talked about how even things like networked printers have been accused of illegal file sharing.
Oh, God.
Even though that's impossible. One guy set up a BitTorrent client that all it could do is connect to the tracker. It couldn't actually download or upload anything. And he just connected it, and all of a sudden he started getting these complaints via his ISP. So yeah, I mean, there's no way to get this information. There's no way to respond to it. There's no way to defend yourself. And yet they threaten with having the internet access shut down if they don't shut down the offenders. So Grace Marketplace Operations Director Jonathan DeCarmine said, quote, "We were notified by our internet service provider that there were people downloading things illegally, and if we didn't put an end to that, they would turn off internet to the entire property, which would keep us from being able to do business and provide services." And this isn't the first warning that it's gotten, and they've been threatened with fines that, of course, I mean, they're a charity. They don't have, you know, large operating budgets to just throw at these things. So when they start getting these threats and saying, if you don't do something about this, we're going to turn you off and give you lots of these fines that you can't afford and affect your ability, you know, to do business and to provide the services you want to, what choice do they have? It's just cutting off the free Wi-Fi for the homeless, so.
I guess we're going on a field trip to McDonald's.
So, Teresa Lowe, executive director of the North Central Florida Coalition for the Homeless and Hungry, told WFT-FM, quote, "We had a couple complaints from our provider and notified everyone, please don't do this, we'll end up losing the service, and it happened again, so our decision was to disable the Wi-Fi because we would be charged." So once again, we see how government cares more about the profits of big corporate cronies than about the poor and the homeless.
You know, sometimes life seems like a series of practical jokes.
Yeah. So stop turning it around, people. It's capitalism that's trying to help them, and it's government that's getting in the way.
Yeah, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Facts, and then you shut the door.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplugs Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
And now let's rasterize this week's biggest Bogon emitter. And this week it goes once again to natural news, this time about the Zika virus that's been in the news. And Zika has been a global health issue because of people traveling around the world and coming back with the virus. They believe it's possible that the virus can spread through sexual contact or through blood, but the main vector is mosquito bites. It's not pleasant to go through. It's like the flu, and there have been deaths from it, but the really bad part about it is that if you're pregnant at the time, it can result in hideous birth defects and brain damage. But that's not what Natural News says. They say it's all a conspiracy to cover up the real culprit, which is GMOs.
Oh, fuck me. No, wait, fuck them.
Quote, "The virus didn't start spreading until after 2012, right after the biotech company Oxitec released genetically modified mosquitoes en masse in Brazil." There's just one problem. The mosquitoes were released in Juazeiro, Brazil, and there's no way they could have gotten from where they are to the areas affected by Zika in such a short time. Oh, did I say just one problem? There's another. The Zika outbreak really got going in April 2015, and the mosquitoes weren't released until June, so unless they're time-traveling mosquitoes, I don't think they're responsible.
Must have been Daleks.
Oh, and I'm sorry, one more problem. The GMO mosquitoes are all male, and male mosquitoes don't bite and therefore can't spread the disease.
So why would they spread mosquitoes around, even if they're male? Like, is there a natural thingy going on here?
Well, what's going on is they're trying to fight malaria and all sorts of other mosquito-borne illnesses, including Zika. And so the idea is they release these genetically modified males into the population. The males breed with females, and when the females breed eggs, the eggs are inviable and can't actually survive long enough to make a larva. And the results of this test were that mosquito populations in Wazeru were reduced about 95%. So this is really showing that GMO mosquitoes are a good way to prevent the spread of Zika, not to mention malaria and all sorts of other diseases.
They don't want to admit that.
So I'm also linking to another Natural News article. This one is from our old friend Mike Adams. And here he blames, quote, Monsanto GM mosquitoes. Monsanto had nothing to do with them. They were created by Oxitec.
Tomato, tomato.
And of course, he wanted to bring vaccines into it, so he said it was all a ploy to sell vaccines, even though there is no vaccine for Zika. So that shows you the level of research that these guys do. So back to the story. They even go so far as to speculate that Zika is a bioweapon. Quote, what's appalling is that Zika virus can be purchased from ATCC labs. Well, it's not like they're selling it on eBay or anything like that. You can only buy it if you're a certified microbiology lab, and there's nothing at all unusual about Zika in that regard. But the microbiology labs need to be able to get it to be able to study it and come up with treatments and maybe even a vaccine, so. Quote, is Zika a bioweapon intentionally released via genetically modified mosquito?
Didn't we talk about bioweapons the other night? How they're not really that effective?
Yeah, and this is one that can't be controlled because the mosquitoes just fly around wherever. All it does is cause birth defects, and when it does, you can't even prove for certain that the virus was the cause of it. So as far as global domination plots are concerned, this doesn't seem so much like Goldfinger, more like Pinky and the Brain.
Well, that would be an insult to them.
Yeah, Brain's plots actually have a chance of succeeding at least, so.
Maybe Invader Zim?
Yeah. But they have their own ideas to what's causing the birth defects. Quote, in 2014, the Brazilian Minister of Health mandated that all expectant mothers receive the new Tdap vaccine. This meant that at 20 weeks gestation, Tdap isn't given until the third trimester, which starts at week 27, a vulnerable developing young life would be exposed to aluminum adjuvant, mercury preservative, there's no mercury preservative in Tdap, formaldehyde, antibiotics, and a host of other chemicals that could damage a fetus's developing brain. No, they couldn't. It's no coincidence that birth defects have spiked in Brazil because of the toxic elements that fetuses have been exposed to. Well, is it a coincidence that it hasn't been happening in areas where expectant mothers have been getting Tdap for years? Why would it just be in this one location?
Because aliens.
What's that guy with the weird hair that makes him look like a Centauri?
The aliens guy?
Aliens. Yeah, on the History Channel. I don't remember his name. So the article closes off, quote, don't buy into the propaganda. Well, they finally said something right, but it's Natural News that's spreading the propaganda here.
Burn.
And that irony, above all the rest of it, just has to be enough to get them named this week's biggest bogon emitter. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.pugosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pugosity.tv. And now it's time to verify the checksum of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to PayPal, who received it in March of last year for caving to pressure from U.S. senators to deny payment processing for the Mega Cloud service, and in July of 2014 for freezing out Proton Mail because they didn't have government permission to encrypt email. Now they take it a third time for their new policy of denying payments for VPN and smart DNS services.
You want to drive people to Bitcoin? Because this is how you drive people to Bitcoin.
Maybe that's what their secret plot is in the background.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, of course, both of these are ways that people in many countries have of getting around government censorship, and the ability to transact monetarily is of extreme importance to them, but because they can be used to infringe copyright, PayPal is disallowing them. So specifically, they've cut off Unotelly, and who knows how many others they've contacted about this, but they said, quote, "Under the PayPal acceptable use policy, PayPal may not be used to send or receive payments for items that infringe or violate any copyright, trademark, right of publicity or privacy, or any other proprietary right under the laws of any jurisdiction." Of course, VPNs and smart DNS services help aid in privacy, but never mind. Quote, "This includes transactions for any device or technological measure that descrambles a scrambled work, decrypts an encrypted work, or otherwise avoids, bypasses, removes, deactivates, or impairs a technological measure without the authority of the copyright owner." But even then, it's kind of a stretch because they don't really allow you to do any actual infringing. What they do is hide who you are, so if you are infringing, they don't know who to go after. And also getting around geo-restrictions, we've talked about this before, like people in other countries who want to watch the U.S. version of Netflix and they just VPN into a server in the U.S. and they get around the geo-restrictions that way. But of course, there are about a million other reasons why you'd want to do this, and we've talked about this before. You know, if you're on that free Wi-Fi, you don't know who else is on that network with you, and they could be hackers, they could be snooping on you or whatever. A VPN will protect you from that. Or getting around outright censorship in other countries. I mean, there are so many good things that VPNs are used for.
Like helping the homeless?
Yep. And according to Unotelly, this came without any prior notice. They were just cut off, and they see it as a direct attack on open and restricted internet access, which, from the net neutrality thing, you'd think people are supposed to be for, but, quote, "We are disappointed at PayPal's unilateral action and the way it acted without prior warning. We provide both DNS resolution and secure VPN services. Our services are network relays that connect people around the world." And they also claim that they can cut off payments to companies that sell, quote, "devices that allow domestic video game consoles to play backup or import versions of games, such as mod chips, game enhancers, boot discs, software packages that remove protections from DVDs, HD DVDs, and Blu-ray DVDs, and allow the user to copy the protected information into other formats, and card sharing services, which is a method of allowing multiple digital television receivers to access subscription television services with only one paid subscription card." So you don't get to make backups of your games or your DVDs or anything else like that. As if there aren't a million free utilities that could do that anyway. But I mean, we're talking about perfectly legal products with perfectly valid uses that are actually becoming more and more of a necessity in this day of Wi-Fi hotspots and increased hacker attacks. Banning them is something that isn't good for anybody. So once again, we have to name PayPal this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Wraps up this and take that ridiculous thing off edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or audio to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jacob Morris for joining me.
Nice chatting with you.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bruce Schneier. "Give yourself more security than you need today. When the unexpected happens, you'll be glad you did." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Bogosity. Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Go take your kids to watch Deadpool. Great movie.
I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah, don't take your kids to go watch Deadpool.
Oh, okay.